Hi everyone, and welcome back to Discerning Consciousness Podcast. I'm your host, Ant, and you join me today for episode number 146, which is part two of a two-part series in which I talk about, I revisit The Truman Show, and I talk about Truman Burbank and his journey or story of awakening. Anyway, so let's return to the film and pick up where we left off in episode 145 in part one. So at the end of the last episode, I was talking about Truman and his wife Meryl, and they just in the car when he's kind of lost his proverbial shit, and he's going kind of insane, and he's getting really angry with his wife. And they've just crossed the bridge, driven through the fire. So perhaps for the first time, Truman has this awareness of he's quite pumped. He's finally escaped. And we have this dialogue between the two in the car. And Meryl starts to say to Truman, remind him of the practicalities of the fact that they've left their home behind on Sea Haven, and they've left their normal life behind. And she reminds him of sort of practicalities that now they're now going to have to deal with in terms of money, credit cards, what they're going to do for work, etc., etc. Now, in terms of COVID-19 and what we experience, this brings to mind a really fascinating aspect of what happened to me after the fake vax was rolled out from 2021 onwards. And a few people quite close to me said that if I refuse to take the fake vax, then I will have to face the consequences of living a restrictive life for many years ahead. And they were sort of questioning me as if to say, well, are you prepared to accept, you know, the fact that you won't be able to do the normal things in life anymore, like travel, like fly, like go to certain types of social events and large public gatherings. Now, I think one of the things that was going on here was a sort of a form of coercion, in that for those that decided not to partake of the medical experiment, I think that we were seen as a threat, and those who are close to us, they wanted to sort of cajole us, coerce us into taking the same sort of decisions that they had as well. And I think ultimately, in the same way that Meryl was trying to dissuade Truman from his ideal of escaping, or should I just say his idea of escaping, his ideal of living an independent life outside the system, I think that was the same thing going on during COVID, where people close to us, they just didn't think it was realistic that we were, you know, making an alternative decision, if I can put it like that, that we were going against the grain, that we were acting independently. They saw it as a threat. And in many ways, I think it's the sort of case that we've heard many, many times, this idea of the sheep attempting to sheep the other sheep into staying in the pen through a process of coercion. And I also think this sort of speaks to this idea of how more broadly, widely in life, not just in relationship to COVID, but when people do have a strong desire or ambition to break free from the shackles of the control system and do things a bit differently, which might not necessarily involve moving anywhere different, that is seen as a threat. And also, I think one of the reasons why it's seen as a threat, especially to those around us, our loved ones, is because in a certain kind of way, what we're saying, we're sort of invalidating them and their life choices, and the fact that, you know, they might be in middle age and they're just waiting to fall over the line and get to 60 or whatever retirement age is at the moment. It keeps changing in whatever country you're in. If you're lucky enough to get a state pension, it's almost like where those of us who want to live more independently are thumbing our nose or sticking two fingers up at those who choose to follow the rest of the sheep. So I think there was an interesting overlap there that I picked up from the dialogue in the film, and from my own experiences, as I was just saying. So I think also, of course, Truman's lifelong friend Marlon would often say to Truman, you know, you don't want to leave Sea Haven to go to Fiji. Sea Haven's amazing. It's the, you know, it's the most amazing place. Why would you want to go and live somewhere else? That's not a wise or rational decision. And I think, just lastly on this point I'm making, I think that's what I faced as well. People were thinking I was being crazy. And also, even in some instances, it's sort of considered dangerous to not go along with the crowd. And somehow it's dangerous. And also, well, what gives you the right? I think that's another interesting thing to consider. So I just want to delve a little bit deeper now into what I'm talking about in regards to Truman's desire to escape Sea Haven, which obviously we saw those images, footage of him as a small little toddler, and he was climbing the rocks early on in the movie, and his dad on set had to dissuade him from moving beyond there because he'd see the confines of the set. So this is obviously he had that desire to escape and to find his true self, as much as anything, like many of us do as well. And I believe that Truman really, at this part of the movie, because subsequently, of course, he was captured when they got held up at this sort of roadblock and the fake leak at the nuclear plant that I mentioned briefly last time. He became unstuck because, in a sense, he took his fight to the system. So his sort of erratic behaviour in the car was a very physical form of resistance, and one particularly interesting theme from the movie is how he eventually learns to just play along, and there's a scene later on where he's in his bathroom and he's using a finger on the mirror to sort of draw on the steam, to draw a picture of a spaceman or a space helmet. And I think at the end of that particular scene, he goes, "That one's for you guys," or words to that effect. And that's when the production crew, for the first time, get an inkling that he knows what's going on. He's beginning to wake up. And that's when, yeah, he was getting a grasp of how to play along with the fiction, how to go along with the story. And in terms of COVID, we know that there were quite a lot of people who came unstuck because they felt so angry, justifiably so. Some people were arrested and they were fined for breaking all the draconian, tyrannical COVID laws, which weren't actually laws. But I do think, from my own perspective, initially I was quite angry, as I was talking about last time, what happened in the supermarket when I did display my sort of childlike petulance. But at its core, I was angry, very, very angry. But I did, by sort of, probably by 2021, I would say, by the middle of 2021, I had learned to see the bigger picture of what this fake pandemic was really about. So in doing so, I think it sort of depersonalized everything that was happening, and that did temper the anger and frustration. So in terms of COVID, well, you might ask, well, what did playing along mean? So there were a few instances where I remember on one occasion I had to attend a funeral of a family friend, and during that time back in early 2021, I believe, there were still restrictions in place and you had to wear a mask in any public spaces. So in that instance, you know, it wouldn't have been appropriate for me to rebel. So, of course, I donned a mask to, you know, respect everyone else at the funeral. And there were a few other situations where when I did wear a mask, perhaps just to placate the people I was with in order to not upset them. Don't get me wrong, at first it did make me feel uneasy. It did perhaps feel like a form of surrender, because we didn't want to give in to this tyranny, this evil, and wearing a face nappy, as they became known, was very much, I do believe, did become a symbol of people's enslavement. But the word I like to use is eventually, I'm sure I wasn't alone in this, perhaps many of you guys did, you come to an understanding of to be a little bit stealthy, to operate below the radar, which means not drawing attention to ourselves. And when I was working back in 2021, we had this thing in the UK where in order to protect the rights of people who couldn't wear a mask, they had this system called like a lanyard you could wear around your neck, which meant you could gain access to public buildings, which you wouldn't have otherwise been able to do. And I wore this at work, and in a sense, you didn't have to wear a mask in the work where I was working at the time, but a lot of people chose to. So just by wearing the lanyard, it sort of, you know, it took people's attention away from the fact that I wasn't wearing the mask and that upsetting people. But I do think what's also interesting to consider is that part of this process of learning not to get so emotionally charged is realizing that you know, our reaction, we can choose our reaction to such events, even when we are in the face of even when we are in the face of such extreme evil. In many ways, we did sort of have options that we could play with, really. So just back to the movie again, and I think at this point, everything just seems to be going wrong for Truman, and everything's crashing around him. And I think this is because still at this stage, Truman hadn't come to the understanding, which obviously he does at the end of the movie, that he couldn't physically escape Sea Haven until he had found freedom within himself. And that's why he had to go through what I believe was sort of representative of a dark night on the soul, when he was on the boat and the boat capsized. And it was essentially a reenactment of what happened with the scene earlier in the movie, with his dad, when his dad was said to have died on set. And as we know, a key aspect of the dark night of the soul is the destruction of the old self, our existing perception of self, which was holding Truman back so much, the trauma. And I think likewise, in regard to COVID lockdowns, we couldn't physically escape, so we were forced to go within, like Truman. And I think this is, you know, a large part of what could be regarded as the COVID initiation. And this isolation did force us to face many of our demons, really. We had little option but to do that. But then, in a kind of sense of regrowth, and positivity, we then had the opportunity to be reborn, just like Truman, and step into a new reality and a new sense of empowerment, which often meant giving us the opportunity to transcend the anger and rage and frustration. Because you might ask, rightly so, well, why would we want to do that? Some people quite like to, even now, get really angry and they want justice to be done, and they're focused on the deaths that are happening as a result of the fake vax, and they can't really move on from that rage and anger and frustration. But I think one of the main reasons why we might choose to transcend all that is, I mean, obviously we know that anger eats up ourselves, but I just think in a very simple way, life does become a lot easier when we no longer feel anger, especially towards people back during COVID, who were following all the guidelines, who were lapping up all the media lies and all the gaslighting. Life just, it's like you can just breathe when you come to an understanding and respect people's choices and decisions, as hard as that can be, if it's loved ones or people close to you. And that may be, for some of us, a story that's, you know, still unfolding in our own personal lives. Anyway, let's get back to the movie again, and let's return to scene 14. And this is after Truman's been captured by the authorities, by the police, and you see him at home, he's in the kitchen and with his wife Meryl, and he just looks completely broken. He looks like a man who's, you know, in the midst of the worst kind of situation one could imagine. No one seems to understand him, and he just feels lost in this sort of crazy world. And increasingly he's come into the understanding that he can't even trust his wife. She doesn't understand him. Of course, one would hope that would be the one person he could rely on. And again, during COVID, it was very disturbing if we had family and close friends who were making decisions that seemed completely illogical and perhaps in many regards insane. Especially people who, before COVID, we would have regarded as quite intelligent, and people that we love, and like Truman, you know, we were considering, did we ever really know these people? Did we ever really know our husband or wife or boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever kind of person is close to us, if they were now making decisions that seemed so insane? And I think that's another thing that many people sort of did face. How can we ever really know even those who are closest to us? It reminds me of that Rush song, and I think the line, forgive me, goes at a certain point of summer, it goes, even when joined in bonds of love, we're passing just like ships in the night. I can't remember the song right now. But that for me kind of encapsulates what I'm talking about here. And the events of COVID, I think they brought, you know, they brought that right to the forefront of our minds. It's like, who is this person that I live with, you know? What is this? What is this bond that we have? How sincere is it? How you know? What does it mean to love this person if they can't understand my decisions? And likewise, you know, perhaps the other way around, can't understand decisions that they're making. So yeah, that was a particularly difficult aspect of COVID, or living through COVID. But then that's where the growth is. That's the darkness in the light, with the archetypal yin and yang. And that's really at its core what I'm talking about in these two episodes, because I haven't really heard many people online talk about COVID in these kind of more expansive terms, in terms of the opportunities it did give us towards growth, which often comes in in quite difficult circumstances. Anyway, let's move on now to scene 15, and this is when they, in order to reconcile the situation with Truman's father having unscheduled returned on set, they rewrite him into the script. And this is when we see on the bridge Truman and his father. They meet up and they are reconciled once again. And I don't want to talk too much about this but particular scene, but very quickly, this reminded me of this particular storytelling with all the emotions and all the rest of it. This reminds me of how during COVID, so much of it was just about storytelling. It wasn't really the facts of what was happening. They didn't matter in terms of what was being broadcast on the world's news channel, the world's media, because it was about pulling on people's heartstrings. And then a lot of that was fake, just like this scene with his dad. And just to give one example of, we were led to believe here in the UK anyway, that these hospitals were fighting this deadly pandemic, and all the nurses and doctors and support staff, you know, they were really busy. And then sometimes on the news, when someone who had had COVID and recovered, you'd see them wheeled out of the ward in a wheelchair, then, and all the staff would stop and clap and cheer. And of course, someone looking at this logically, not through emotional attachment, would go, well, that's ridiculous. We're being told there's this deadly pandemic, and nurses and doctors and all the hospital staff, I'm not saying they're not doing a good job, I'm not saying that, but how did they have the time to stop and almost do like a, you know, a ticker tape parade for someone leaving hospital? Again, because it's about the emotions, it's about the story, and that's again reflected with this particular scene when they bring back Truman's father on set. So next up, we move on to scene 16, and this is when they've now the show seems to be reinvigorated with new life. They've dealt with that anomaly of one of the actors returning to the set when they shouldn't do, because they're disgruntled, i.e., Truman's father. They're disgruntled about being written out of the show. So yeah, we have there's like a media story where there's this TV interviewer, and we see this interview with the creator of the show, Christoph, or the Christed One, if you could think of it like that. And there's this sort of section where members of the public can call in and find out about the show and how it works. So they get the ear briefly of Christoph. And Lauren, Truman's sort of lost love, if you like, who I was speaking about earlier, they engage in this sort of quite deep conversation. She's angry and frustrated with Christoph. She accuses him of imprisoning him on the island. And very pertinently, Christoph, in response to Lauren, and I paraphrase, forgive me, it's not word for word verbatim, but he says, and I quote, "Truman could leave at any time and discover the truth if he was determined. But I think what disturbs you, caller, is that ultimately Truman prefers his cell, as you call it," end quotes. So obviously there's a lot there. There's a hell of a lot there, meaty to unpack. And just I think it encapsulates what I'm trying to, the entirety of what I'm trying to get across in these in two episodes, really. This quest, this desire for freedom and how, you know, what we learned during COVID, but have always really secretly known, albeit sometimes it can be hard to admit to ourselves, like I was saying before, even, you know, many of those are those closest to us, you know, they don't necessarily value freedom in the same way that we might do. But what we learned during COVID was that the vast majority of people, and this is just from my experience, from it might be different for where you guys are listening, you might have, you know, had a very different experience, but from my experience, what I witnessed out there, is that the vast majority of individuals during COVID just conformed. They complied because it demanded nothing of them. Basically, they just went along to get along, as I was talking about in the previous episode, with regards to the amount of people who were just quite happy to be coerced into taking a fake vax so they could fly. And I think what COVID brilliantly revealed was that, you know, all the while we had a choice. I know there was a lot of coercion going on, like when they brought in compulsory mandates, again, as I was saying last time, here in the UK, the care staff, they brought in mandatory fake COVID vax for staff. So I know there was a big, very literal arm twisting going on, but there was still that choice. People could have left those jobs, and I have no doubt many did. And in this regard, it was a compliance test, again, as many commentators and people speaking online about COVID these last 4 years have said. But many chose to remain in their comfort zone and the conformity of their own individual cell, which Lauren was speaking to. And I think, yeah, this particular scene is brilliant, really, because it really always pulls on my heartstrings when I see this, you know, and I really take on board the depth of its particular meaning. Anyway, so next up in terms of the movie, on to scene 17. We see that Truman now, he is playing along with the camera. His anger has retreated. He's calm. That's because he's readying himself for his next challenge, which is the escape, of course, and his journey, one could say, into the underworld, when he's really going to immerse himself in the alchemical fires of purification and transformation. And he has learnt, so he's learnt the rules of the game, and he doesn't no longer gives his psychic power away. He just simply allows things as they are on the island. He has, and this is because he has no desire to change the system. He just literally lives out his day-to-day existence on Sea Haven as the directors, as the producers of the show, and all of the other actors would expect him to do so. So like I was saying, this was leading to the next kind of dramatic pivot point in the film, and that is when Truman goes missing. But interesting to pick up before that happens is there's a scene and we're in the production room, or you see the production crew, you've got all the screens monitoring Truman. And you've got members of the production crew, and I think there's one guy, he's using his like exercise machine whilst eating, and it's at night, so there's not much monitoring going on, and there's not you know, any interesting or particular developments that the public watching the show might be picking up on. So I would say there's generally an atmosphere of complacency in this sort of main hub, the production room, and I think in terms of COVID, just quickly again, what I think this is interesting is that the longer the story went on and the more the restrictions intensified and the more people could see what was going on. I think a lot of that was fueled because governments around the world and their lapdogs in the mainstream media, I think there was a lot of complacency going on. So that's why I think a lot more people were waking up to the truth. And I think this, again, this mirrors what was happening in the Truman Show, in that the production crew and Christoph, they thought they'd kind of overcome the bump in the road, which was the potential for Truman's dad to kind of like bring the whole thing crashing down. They kind of dealt with that, and then it became rather complacent. And I think that is kind of indicative of how the authorities and those who are sort of making the decisions, the hidden secret unknowns, undoubtedly, because they were enjoying the control. I know some commentators and analysts have pointed to this sort of sadistic element to them enjoying the control they were having over the world's population. And I think the fact that most people were complying, it did make them rather arrogant and complacent. And that's what I'm just picking up on this particular scene here. So let's just move on with the story now. So of course Truman, he goes into isolation. He deliberately kind of leads the producers astray by creating this sort of impression that he's asleep in the basement of his house. And this desire he has to go into isolation, essentially, in the show, it means he goes missing. I think many of us felt that during COVID. I did. I'm sure I wasn't alone. I think it's a natural response when you feel like the world is going insane, especially at the height of COVID clown world. I think for many of us, that's the only way we could get through at a certain point was to go into isolation. And like Truman, you know, he'd cottoned on to what was happening, the control measures. It does become very difficult, and seeing all of the mass conformity to the rules, so-called rules, that did nothing to prevent the spread of COVID-19. And yeah, I think we needed that to just restore ourselves to fight another day, so to speak. Anyway, in the movie we see Marlon, and it's quite evident that Truman actually isn't in the basement. And then the producer Christoph, he decides to cut the transmission, and there's a gasp, of course, because ever since the show first started, when Truman was born, it's been a continual feed. The transmission has never been cut. So the higher TV executives, this puts them into a real kind of tizzy, and they get very angry with Christoph, because they want to know what's happening. And there's a general sort of bewilderment amongst a lot of the actors. Now, I think why this is such a significant moment in the film, and why the transmission was cut, is because the viewers, they were not able to see the truth. They couldn't see the truth, the fact that Truman was no longer on set, because that would have broken the spell or the illusion. And I think the fact that the show was cut, the transmission was cut, I think this relates to the mass censorship that we experienced during COVID. We know that many leading figures in the alternative media, the likes of David Icke et al., had their YouTube accounts deleted. And that's when many made the movement over to other social media and video platforms, and many other people also had their YouTube their finances were cut because they could no longer monetize their accounts. So in many sense, the truth was being censored, or the truth, there was an attempt to ban the truth. Because, as I've said in part one again, but it's worth repeating, the people can never be told the truth about the world they live in. Perhaps in many ways, just like Truman, we have to discover it for ourselves. And it's that is the whole point of the journey. That is the whole point of really discovering the enormity of who and what we are. And that's why I've never really sort of I know certain types of people who are still angry and getting their knickers in a twist are still waiting for some big COVID revelation in the mainstream media or some sort of Nuremberg trial, but I don't think that'll ever happen. And actually, that would be counterproductive, because it would make a lot of the general public, even if they believed it, many of which they wouldn't, but those who did believe it, they would then become very, very angry. And then you've got a very angry mob who want retribution and justice, and that would be that wouldn't really be great for humanity's future, sorry, because as always, it's about our own inner personal story, like Truman, our own journey, as hard as that can be at times. So anyway, referring back to the movie, obviously the chaos, they can't keep the show off air for long, they'll be losing all the advertising revenue, etc., etc. And what I picked up from the many times I've watched the movie, which I think is quite disturbing picking up on, is just how angry the actors are. They're really, really angry. And we've got the snarling dogs, like security dogs. So there's this real sort of malevolent attitude, you know, we've got to find Truman, where is he? There wasn't a concern that, oh my God, you know, what's happened to him? Where is he? There was this real anger, we need to find him. And I think that largely stems from the fact that by going missing, Truman was exposing the fraud, he was exposing the lies. And, you know, in the same way that during COVID, exposing the truth, that's why those exposing the truth in the alternative media were censored, deleted, and they were ridiculed as well. And I think the name calling that many of us face was to do with the anger of those invested in the COVID lie or the COVID fiction. I think we represented a threat to them, like Truman, in a sense, represented a threat to all the actors and production crew. Because if you think about it, this specific his by his specific action, it threatened the whole future of the show. The future of the show was being called into question. So, like during COVID, the whole edifice of power and control, and therefore the future of the system that we know, the control system, it had the potential to collapse, as it always does, if enough people were able to perceive of the nature of reality beyond the deceptions and lies. And in many ways, I think another reason why the actors and the production crew, they were so angry with Truman, was just in terms of self-preservation, their own futures as actors, like those who were going along with the COVID liars, was just saying why they were angry with us is because we were, in a sense, by not going along with it, we were kind of like forcing them to face their own truths, and we were forcing them indirectly for them to hold a mirror to themselves and the lies that they believe about themselves. So anyway, moving on again, back to the movie. From scene 19 onwards, we see Truman, and this is his sort of like his final battle, if you like, his final battle with the demons, in which, you know, he draws his sword and he slays the dragon. And eventually the production crew, they pick up, they find Truman, they find that he's on a boat, he's on the ocean or the sea, and the cameras home in, and there we see him and everything's calm and he's fine and he's sailing along. Now, of course, the production crew, they need to stop him. They can't have him physically escaping because it will be game over. So they activate the weather program, and this is an attempt to use extreme measures to stop Truman escaping offset, just short of killing him. And eventually, as we know, if you've seen the film, the boat does eventually, it capsizes. And in terms of COVID, this reminds me of the lengths that the system, national governments, health authorities went to silence the truth. And even to this day, there was recent legislation passed in France, apparently, I don't know the details of it, but I just saw the headlines, making it illegal to outlaw criticism of the fake COVID vaccination, which is rather disturbing. I think you're agree. And in many ways, as we know, it did represent a totally, you know, illogical attack on our basic human rights and freedoms that have always been said to be at the heart or the core, one of the sort of core principles of democracy. And again, that's what made so disturbing what we were going through. And I think, not that we needed reminding, but COVID-19 taught us that in the West, the form of Western liberal democracy that we've had for, what, a couple of hundred years, is a total sham, is a total fiction. Anyway, back to the movie, and eventually, as I was saying, the boat overturns. But then we see, initially, it seems as if Truman has died, but then we see him, he does appear to, in a sort of resurrection motif, sort of a Jesus Christ moment, he does appear to summon himself from the underworld, from the depths, and he manages to clamber back on the boat. And in this very moment, we can see quite clearly that he has overcome the trauma, the fear of the sea that ultimately held him as a self-imposed prisoner on the island, as Christophe spoke to, as I was just speaking about. He had transcended all his fears and was reborn anew. And I think during COVID, we were given that opportunity. I don't mean to downplay that. And I think some of us did find the courage to face our fears, like Truman, and stand up for ourselves. We gained confidence from knowing that, I believe, we had the truth on our side. And in many ways, I think the higher powers, or God, or the divine, however you want to describe it, also, they were rooting for us as well in many ways. I think, you know, we had, we had virtue on our side as well. And I think that's why virtually all of these restrictions that were imposed, they were all slowly kind of dropped. I just want to also pick up, in terms of this particular iconic scene and the sort of lengths they went to try and stop Truman from escaping the set, even, you know, threatening to kill him. I think in a very sort of, let's look at things in a very, how shall I say, quite conspiratorial anger. Perhaps one could say this mirrors the fact that what was rolled out was an experimental, well, it was called a vaccine, but it was a new type of technology. And as we know, subsequently, a number of people have died. So perhaps this was an attempt to push humanity right to the brink, like the producers of the show were pushing Truman right to the brink of his extinction and our extinction. I'm not saying that that was the reason for COVID-19, but I think there are some sort of parallels whereby you can push people so far, almost near to the point of death, but that can also, as it did in Truman, leads to awakening. So I think there's a kind of like a similarity there as well. So obviously he's sailing along now. He's a happy camper again. He's born anew, and we sail along in the boat, and then we hear as the boat collides with the set, and the clouds are painted on the set. And there's this sort of dialogue again, this time between Christoph and Truman. And this is where Truman makes his final decision. He's still being offered, you know, the chance of returning to set. He's still being given the opportunity to step back from the brink, not to embrace his freedom, and to just, you know, go back and live in his cell. But he refuses, and it's that iconic moment. And I quote Truman's last words. He says, "In case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night." And that's it. And he walks through the door. And then at that moment, he is a free human being. He's a sovereign human being. He has transcended the limits of the physical world, if we can look at it like that. And he has also overcome all of his trauma and by extension, his fears. So he is a free man in every sense of the word. To pick up here on something that of note is, after he breaks free, he walks through the door, then we see all of the people watching the show, and there's like this one guy, he's in his bath, and he's absolutely ecstatic, thrashing at the water with his hands. And we see people around the world actually, you know, in pure delight and expressions of joy, because the hero Truman has completed his journey. He has finished the hero's journey. Interesting to note, why are they so joyous? I mean, on one level, is we all like the victor, don't we? We all like, in any drama, film, musical, whatever it might be, we like the main character to triumph. So there's that kind of sense of satisfaction. There's that sense in which we feel happy for the victor. But I also think, in a more sort of unconscious way, I think in life we do like knowing that other people are achieving things like Truman and pushing beyond their comfort zones, perhaps doing things that we would never do. Maybe, you know, climb mountains or, you know, do a bungee jump, whatever it might be. I mean, one good thing about living in this time, there are a million and one ways that we can push ourselves, do these amazing activities, whatever it might be, you know, the kind of thing. But it's almost as if part of this joy or happiness are other people doing it is so we don't have to do it. Because if that chap or woman over there, well, they're climbing Mount Kilimanjaro, well, that means I don't have to do it. That's all right. And it does, I think it kind of also speaks to this idea of how we do feel a lot of the time limited within ourselves. And I think this does help us to rationalize our self-limitation and rationalize our fears if we can point to others who are doing the kinds of things. If we had a really sort of, you know, deep and honest conversation with ourselves, quite often maybe in the middle of the night when we feel disturbed and we can't sleep, when we think, do you know what, I should be pushing beyond my boundaries, because that's where the satisfaction comes from life, and that's how we can free ourselves. And just to relate this lastly to COVID, I did sense that there was, I did pick up on it actually, that certain types of people did have an admiration for so-called anti-vaxxers, COVID deniers, conspiracy theories. They wouldn't have admitted it publicly, of course, but I think secretly they had a sort of admiration for people's fearlessness and the fact that many of us, we did fight our fears and we were able to stand alone and face all the criticism and, in some instances, hatred, and I hate to say, in some instances, physical violence as well. And it's just a shame that more people couldn't have found it in themselves to do what many of us did. But then at the end of the day, we're not here to judge other people, and life is just an ongoing process. And I know that I myself, I still have many, many fears to overcome. Anyway, in terms of the movie, I just want to talk lastly, as we head towards the end of this part two now, another very iconic scene, the very last scene, when we see the two security guards in the security hut, and they're watching, they're eating pizza, shoving pizzas in their face. I think one says to the other, "Pass me the remote, what else is on?" And then the film cuts, and that's it. Now, what I think this is an example of, in relationship to the way society has been going since COVID, is this phenomena of the next big thing after COVID, which was Russia's special military operation in Ukraine, in which the mainstream media literally switched their attention and focus overnight, and all of the news stories were from Ukraine. I'm not saying they shouldn't have been covering that, but all of a sudden COVID was forgotten. And I remember, I think it was around about February, when the invasion started in 2022, quite a long time ago now, nearly 2 years, hard to believe, or over 2 years, sorry. Up until that point, the BBC and Sky News here in the UK had run like a daily ticker tape where it would show you case numbers and death numbers, which I always thought reminded me a bit like, I think what they were trying to do was invoke the idea of deaths on the battlefield, you know, this thing where, you know, we're fighting the evil of COVID. But literally overnight, that was gone. That was removed from the bottom of the rolling, you know, ticker tape news. And also my local Tesco Metro supermarket, for 2 years, it had the banner outside about social distancing. And it's outside a supermarket of all places. And around about the same time, that was removed. And that was when I knew, I don't mean to be smug, but that's when I knew, oh, this is over now. This is, it's, something has switched and this is over now. And I think that does, that is mirrored by the two security guards, where literally they didn't sit there, they didn't have a conversation about Truman's experiences or you know, what he'd been through. It was like, oh, come on, what else is on? Oh, you know, we've forgotten about that. We've moved on to the next thing. And I think this is because this is people quickly forget what they've been through during COVID, and they simply follow the next big story that the media wants them to put their attention on. And I think this is because a lot of people, I hate to say it, do lack the ability to see what the longer now. They just live in the moment with no real internal self-reference. And when I say they live in the moment, I'm not saying in a kind of zen or a sort of the power of now sort of in that regard of being like a spiritual experience. I just mean they don't tend to ponder why things happen the way they do. Perhaps I can put it as simply as that. So that means quite often they can't perceive of the ways in which the world and their lives have changed over time. And I just say it's a story crafted by the media, much like for a lot of Truman's life, the story was crafted by the producer. So there we go. We find ourselves at the end of the movie, The Truman Show, and the end of Truman Burbank's story as well. So as we've come to the end now of part two of my two-part series, I just want to round up very quickly and say that I think, by way of conclusion, in essence, I think come to the end, and Truman has gained liberation after he was able to see the construct on Sea Haven, much like many of us were able to do during COVID when it reached a certain point of insanity. And that didn't remove a lot of our feelings of, bewilderment and the fact it seemed so disturbing. But at least we could, by seeing the construct, it did give us some sort of comfort. And in that way, I think, it was a very physical experience, like Truman experience. It wasn't just an intellectual concept. And what I'm talking about here is this sort of battle that we have that undoubtedly does exist against dark malevolent forces, which I spoke about in the last episode, sorry, in the previous to last episode, when I was talking about Lush energy or energy harvesting, that undoubtedly there are malevolent forces seeking to enslave humanity. And if we were brave, we were able to face those forces and look into the face of evil and triumph, just like Truman was able to do. Because if you think, when he was on the boat, that was, and they were literally prepared to kill him, that was an example of him having to face not only his own demons on the boat because his fear is water, but the evil of the producer of the show who was prepared to kill him. So we also overall, like Truman, we came to an understanding of just the fragility of the construct, the movie construct, or the system that underpins everything that we went through during COVID. And by the system, I mean all the different kind of institutions within government, healthcare systems, and all the rest of it, who were implementing COVID-19. And like Truman, we always had the choice not to comply. And we also learned, like Truman, that we were able to tap into a different reality and eventually to be able to read the signs and symbols from the universe. And this meant we were able to be free in our minds after we discovered how to play the game and no longer be a victim of these forces outside of our control. And Truman, lastly, he was only really able to physically escape the island or a sense of physical freedom when he had discovered freedom within himself. And that's like I was talking about earlier, when it wasn't just about taking the fight to the system. I'm not going to have the fake backs. I'm not going to wear the mask. It went a lot deeper than that. I'm not saying those weren't important things to do at the time, but it also went deeper than that in terms of understanding our own psychology and why we were reacting in the way that we do, that we were, sorry, perhaps because of our previous traumas, like Truman was experiencing and having to overcome. So I think I'll leave it there. Thank you so much for listening. I know it's been quite a long series of two episodes. I hope you've enjoyed listening to me. I hope I've made some sense in terms of trying to get this sort of metaphor across in terms of what Truman went through, this sort of increasing awakening impulse, and what we experienced during COVID-19 and those insane times. So thank you all for tuning in, and I will speak to you all again very soon. Bye bye for now.